And silence fell. Brilliant. Don't ever take for granted what we model to our children and young people. So important, so important. What we model to them, really good. So today we are, I'm sounding very loud, I don't know if it's just me. Am I ringing? Today we're starting a new series. We've been looking at what wholehearted living is. And today we're going to be starting something that God's asked us to kind of embed in that, and that's wholehearted family. Wholehearted family. And over the course of the coming weeks, there's going to be Andy and I and various other people just looking at what does wholehearted family look like. And this morning, I'm really going to focus on what does wholehearted church family look like. We talk a lot about church family, but what do we mean when we say that? What does it actually mean? What does it look like? I need to probably preface all of that by saying Andy and I are on a real journey of adventure of, but what does church family look like? We probably know what it doesn't look like. But actually, what does it really look like? You know, we say it so easily, don't we? But what does it really, really look like? And I'm just going to share with you this morning some download stuff that the Holy Spirit's been giving me, some stuff that I've learned along the way. And I think it's really exciting. I think it's really exciting, the journey that we're on. Now, some of us may have an issue of getting our own families working, let alone thinking about a church family. Isn't it easier to just rock up as church service starts, to then leave as soon as it finishes and avoid any eye contact with anybody during the whole time we're here? Is that not the better option? Because then you can't get upset and you can't offend people. Do you know, job done. We've come away from church and we feel better about ourselves. And probably so does everybody else. Is that the way forward? I don't think so. So for all of us who are a little bit introverted, our anxiety levels will already be rising because we're like, people connection. Oh my goodness. Is this going to really be possible? So a little bit of light relief to start us off. I've got a film clip that I think you will find very enlightening. Thanks, guys. Previously on... They're onto something, right? I think, you know... Exactly. Family is really, really important to God. Really important to God. Heaven's whole government is based around family. Just think about it. Heaven's whole government is based around family. Before the creation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit enjoyed perfect relationship, assured identity and purpose. Amazing. And from that place of perfect relationship, we were created. We were created from that place. We need to know that whatever the circumstances of our natural birth or family situation, we were born into the perfect family of heaven. The perfect family of heaven. We were and are much loved, much wanted, and never considered an inconvenience. And we need to know that. We need to know that at the core of our being. In Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, really familiar words. Then God said, after he'd created everything else, and let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. We're made in the image of the Godhead. let us make mankind in our image. We're made in the image of the Godhead. That is incredible. We carry the spiritual DNA of our Creator. I mean, it's phenomenal. Do you know the potential that you have in you because of who created you? Just turn to somebody next to you and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have limitless potential. You have limitless potential. As sons and daughters of God, we have the potential to live a heaven-focused life on earth. Who of us believes that? Actually, there is the potential to live a heaven-focused life on earth. Well, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I didn't believe that. And to bring the rule of heaven into our spheres of influence. The potential to bring heaven to earth in the way we do relationships. And dare I suggest, in the way we do church. We know that we're sons and daughters of the living God. We were created out of a place of thriving relationship. So I would suggest that we thrive and flourish in a place of relationship. In relationships where we're committed to each other. In relationships where there's no competition, no sibling rivalry, no comparison. In relationships where we see the potential in others and we call it out. In relationships where we are encouraged and encouraging. We allow other people in and we invest in other people. In relationships where we're free to choose. But with that freedom comes responsibility, because it isn't all about us. It isn't all about what they wanted. Those kind of relationships will build strong, thriving families. And those kind of relationships, I believe, is what we need to bring strong, thriving church family. You see, church isn't meant to be an organization. It's meant to be a family. The early church got that. They knew that. They were pioneering something new. And they needed each other. They needed each other. This was a new thing, a new blueprint. They were so in tune with the Holy Spirit. They reorganized their lives because they were under his leading. I love the way the Passion Translation expresses those verses in Acts when it talks about the community of believers, and it says this: each believer was faithfully devoted to following the teaching of the apostles. Their hearts were fully linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Their hearts, it says, were mutually linked to one another, just like the Godhead. Just like the Godhead, the overflow of heaven was working out in their relationships. It wasn't just a superficial thing. Their lives were woven together. A while ago, the Holy Spirit downloaded a couple of pictures to me about what church looks like and what church doesn't look like. So can I have the first slide up, please, guys, when you're ready. Brilliant. So, the core. A lot of churches would model this, I would say. So you have the core, and in the core you have your key leaderships, or those who are heavily involved in the life of the church. And the next one, please. And then you have the next level out. So they're committed. They're around, but they're not in the core. And then the next one, please. And then you have another layer on the outside. Those people who we might have described as being on the fringe. Yeah, we've kind of come across that expression before. And the aim is always, and the next slide, please, to bring everybody into the core. Everybody into the core. Now, but what that says is, People are only really valued and worth it when they're in the core. You have a limited number of connections, and your aim is always to get into the middle. But there's only so many people in the middle, so it's exclusive. It's not inclusive. And what about those people who actually do just stay around the edge the whole of their church life? That could be by decision or it could be by default. But what that says is they're not part of the family. They're not part of the family. It also says there's hierarchy in the life of the church and puts value on some people more than others. And I don't see any of that in Scripture. I don't. And then God showed me this. If we go to the next one. And the next one. And the next one. And the next one. And the next one. Keep going, Kenny. And that's what God showed me. That actually, we are linking with people. It's not all about the core. It's all about connection. It's all about connection. It's all about connection. Everybody is as important as everybody else. We all have intrinsic value. And our value, and this is really important, our value does not depend on who we connect with and who we know. That is not what our value is about. Connection is limitless. Because actually you could go on and on and on and on and on connecting, and you don't change the model. Sunday mornings aren't the only connection point. There should be connection points all through the week. Any connection that we're having is building relationship and is valuable. And what that also says to me is our lives are intertwined with each other. And when one person hurts, it affects everybody else. And when one person is doing good, it affects everybody else. And actually, you take any one of those links out and we're all affected one way or another. That to me looks like the early church. That to me looks like the early church. And as I was preparing this on Wednesday, I love it when the Holy Spirit downloads stuff. You just think, that is amazing. The word chainmail came into my head. A bit random. I looked it up. Do you know what chainmail is made of? Loads and loads of interconnected circles. And what is chainmail? It's something that protects us, but it's flexible. But it protects us. We need each other to protect us. When people get isolated, when Christians get isolated, they become really, really vulnerable and really, really exposed. But actually in family, there is strength. I just thought that was beautiful. Just so, so powerful. Jesus knew how important it was for us to have good connections with other believers. Before he was crucified, he prayed an incredible prayer in John 17. When you go home, bit of homework, I suggest you read it. It is incredible. In the Passion translation, it's entitled, Jesus Finished the Father's Work. And what's interesting, I reread it again this morning and it hit me afresh that Jesus doesn't pray for his disciples for a massive release of courage and boldness and wisdom and discernment. All that are valid and we need them. But what he prayed for was for connection. Jesus said this, I've glorified you on earth by faithfully doing everything you've told me to do. So my Father, restore me back to the glory that we shared before when we were face to face before the universe was created. The glory that Jesus had when he was face to face with his Heavenly Father is what he wanted to return to and what he wanted for us. In verse 10 it says this, "For all who belong to me now belong to you, and all who belong to you now belong to me as well, and my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives. Holy Father, I'm about to leave this world to return and be with you, but my disciples will remain here. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each one of them that you've given me and watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one." That was for his disciples. And then he prayed for us. He prayed for us, and this is what he prayed. "And I also ask not only for these disciples, but for those, for all of those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one. Even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us." And why? Why did Jesus pray that? "So that the world would recognize that you sent me." He prayed that we would be one as his kids, so the world would recognize that God had sent Jesus. That's amazing. That is amazing. "For the very glory that you have given me, I have given them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them so that they will experience perfect unity. And the world will be convinced that you sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Father, I ask that you would allow everyone that you have given to me to be with me where I am." And then Jesus goes on. That is an amazing prayer of re-establishing connections. Connections between heaven and earth and connections between believers. Jesus said he'd passed on the glory that his Father had given to him, to us. And the effect of that shared glory is that we have capacity to be joined together and experience the closeness of relationships as they are in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not there yet. But I want to be. As we fully live in him, we get to experience unity. And that will be a great witness to the world. And why is that? Why is unity such a witness to the world? I believe it's because the heart cry of every man, woman and child is for connection. We were created for connection. We were created for that connection because we were created out of a connected Godhead. That's why community, outside of church, where there is good, strong community in a place, there will be good relationships. You think of those areas around our country where there's gang warfare, where there's division, where there's hatred, where there's bigotry. Those communities are divided and people's lives suffer for it. You get increasing poverty, addictions, all of the rubbish when you think about it. But you get a community where people come together, whether that's through church or not through church. Because wherever people are connected, good stuff flows, because we're designed for connection. We're designed for connection. I think it's so exciting what's happening in our town. Within the churches, but actually without the church, I think that's a really good indicator what's happening in the life of our town. You know, we've got the Billericay Acts of Random Kindness set up. We've got a volunteer network. You know, we've got street pastors and SMB being recognized in the life of our town. There's a good community feel in Billericay. If you think about it, there is a really good... If you compare that to, say, some other areas not that far from here, well, that's not as good. People will thrive where there's good community connection. So how much more when the church realizes, how much more is that going to overflow into the life of the town? I think we're starting to see it, but I think there's even more that God wants us to do. So what does wholehearted church family look like? God gave me one scripture and I thought, that is genius, God. So this is not me, this is absolutely what God said, and I think it is profound. It's from Mark 12 and it says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second greatest commandment is this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, for some of us, if we're honest, we've probably seen church as a bit of a bolt-on. We love God, but church has damaged us. Relationships that were meant to be good have been poisoned. We've ended up wounding or being wounded. So actually, it's not been a safe place for us. And I would dare to suggest, if we went round the room here today, every one of us would have a story of something that's happened to us in the life of church that actually has been really damaging and really painful. But don't let us throw out the baby with the bathwater. Don't let us dismiss, actually, what God has for us. You see, we are a group of imperfect people. Well, I'm imperfect, I don't know about you guys, but I am. So we're not going to get it right all of the time. But there's that intentions in our hearts. And dare we believe that God could enable us to have relationships on earth as they are in heaven. In our marriages, in our families, in our churches. Just envisage for a minute the environment that we could create. Just imagine an environment that we could create where we were in a place of security and thriving because of the relationships we had, our close relationships. And then we were able to reach out and touch others who were broken and allow the power and the love of God to flow to them because of what He'd done in us. Imagine what that would look like. I believe that would be the nearest thing to heaven on earth that we would ever see if that happened. Out of that environment in the early church, God's power flowed in incredible ways. They got the unity right. They got the family right. And God's power flowed in incredible ways. There were signs and miracles. The rest of the community noticed they were different. And people were added to their number daily. It says daily, daily. The community outside of church noticed them and held them in high regard. Dare we believe that we could create a church family like that? I'm going to pray. And there's a couple of things I think God wants me to pray. And one is to do with brokenness. And the other one is to do with commitment. So, Father, I want to thank you that you've created us out of relationship for relationship. That you've created us with a need to connect in order for us to thrive and flourish. Thank you that we need each other. But God, at times that makes us very vulnerable. And you know, God, where we've been hurt and damaged. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring healing and restoration to those areas where we have been damaged and broken by relationships that were meant to build us up and protect us. And part of that, as the Holy Spirit's moving, there may be people, situations coming into your mind that you just need to forgive. I'm not saying they didn't damage you. I'm not saying they didn't do things that they shouldn't have done. But you need to forgive them. You need to forgive them so you can move on. So you can move on. Thank you, Father. And there's a commitment. Actually, for relationships to work, we need to commit. Just as on the 11th of July, 1987, I committed to Andy to be his wife. And I didn't know what that would look like. I made some very big promises. And I didn't know fully what that would look like. So it was a step of faith. I didn't hold him at arm's length. I didn't say, well, I'll see what it's like in 10 years' time and then maybe I'll say yes to some other promises, because that's not how marriage works. And actually, that's not how relationship works. So I just want to invite us, wherever we're at, wherever we are at, to take the next step forward, kind of in commitment to this family, if we're part of it, this church family. And if that's you, I just invite you to stand, because I'm just going to pray over us. Father, I want to pray that you would expand our vision of what church family looks like. That you would increase our capacity to love and to connect. God, I pray you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would understand increasingly what that connection in heaven looks like, so that we can build that down here to create something beautiful and powerful, something that attracts people into your kingdom, something that brings healing and restoration, where miracles are common day occurrences, where everybody thrives and flourishes. God, we look to you to grace us and enable us, but we say we are committed. We are committed to this church family and all that you want to do in us and through us for your glory. Amen. 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 Do you know what? In church family or in family, everybody knows each other's names. Now there's a challenge. Now there's a challenge, isn't it? Everybody knows each other's names in family, unless you forget your kids and get them muddled up. So if there's somebody in this room today you don't know, please go and find out their name. Bless you. Have a great day. Tea and coffee and cake is coming.